Scripture this evening will be from 2 Kings 5, verses 1 through 5. 2 Kings 5, verses 1 through 5. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing.
Good afternoon. It's a real pleasure to be here again, and I do sincerely mean that. I am very grateful and very thankful that I've had the opportunity to get to speak with you and present a lesson. It's something that I don't take for granted, so I really am appreciative, and I'm appreciative of all of the church here. It's a wonderful place, very friendly, very loving, and it's a joy to be with you. And not only do I really appreciate the people here, just as a quick aside, I really enjoy the building also. This is just a very nice, it's very bright. I like the openness. It just kind of gives you a good feeling when you come to worship. And I know my children really appreciate it because there's like a nice circuit that they can take their laps in after service. They really enjoy that part of it too. So I feel like we're very blessed, primarily for the brotherhood that we have here, and then also for some other nice things as well. This evening I wanted to take a lesson from 2 Kings chapter 5 and the story of Naaman, one that you might be familiar with. And as we study Naaman and talk about him and try to pull some things out, I think there's an obvious analogy that we see here, an obvious lesson that we're to take. And it's a beautiful story of how obedience can make us whole. And it's, I think, kind of well known for that for a reason, because there is a simplicity to it. And I think there's an easy application. And so hopefully we can kind of refresh our minds on that and, you know, rejoice in that and be grateful for that. And it can kind of motivate us as we go forward as well. So a couple of things that I just wanted to bring out. We're kind of exploring and thinking about Naaman's initial reactions and maybe his mindset at the beginning, his kind of anger and desperation that we see initially. And then, of course, talk about his obedience and what we can learn from that. And then finally, at the end, there's a contrast that comes up later in the story that I think will be beneficial for us as well. So we had the and if you have your Bible open, your Bible app, this is what I probably mean. But if you have it open to 2 Kings 5 and want to look at that, we just had the first five verses read for us. So I won't to read them all again. But I did want to kind of wonder, it doesn't really explicitly tell us a lot about Naaman's mindset prior to this. We know that he was a commander. He was a great man with his master and in high favor. So this is a person of high success, high esteem, but of course had leprosy. And he must have had at least some form of hope, some degree of hope, because he was willing to seek out something that he had heard. So he goes and makes that attempt. He was willing to pursue it. And, you know, perhaps he was willing to try a lot of things. Again, I don't want to read too much into it, but, you know, maybe there was some desperation there and willing to try things that he had heard. And I don't necessarily fault him for that. I don't mean that as an insult to be desperate. Leprosy is a horrible disease. In trying to do a little research for this, I tried to look up a little bit about it. Saw a couple pictures that were not pleasant. Didn't spend a whole lot more time with it. Suffice it to say, it's a terrible thing to go through. So I think a degree of desperation is understandable. I'm not real tough when I'm sick. I complain probably too much when I'm sick. It doesn't take much for me to get to a desperation point when it comes to not feeling well. So I can sympathize with or empathize with Naaman somewhat. So I wanted to skip down to verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." So I'm not sure. I think we can only really speculate. There's not a lot. Let there be light, by the way. When the natural, beautiful sunlight starts to dim, we have a backup plan. That's good. So again, I don't want to like throw too much into Naaman's mindset that we don't have in Scripture, but we can see his response and we can glean some things from that. So I don't know when he received that response, if it was maybe a feeling of doubt or perhaps maybe feeling insulted or incredulous, but we see his response in verse 11. "But Naaman went away angry and said, 'I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?' So he turned and went off in a rage." And that's kind of the first spot I want to kind of stop for just a moment and maybe look at ourselves and look at society a little bit in the way we see Naaman's response, because I see that attitude in a lot of ways. Specifically, when Naaman kind of used his own wisdom, his own thought process, his own opinion about the way that he should be healed, about what could make him well. We have far too many examples today, throughout history, in the Scriptures, of people who thought they found better ways of serving God, better ways of being righteous than what the simple commands of the Lord are. Proverbs 14:12, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." So many people throughout history have taken God's plan, God's commands, His plan of salvation, and felt they had the authority to decide which ones are essential, which ones are not, which ones are salvation issues, and which ones are less important. And when I see this, when I see Naaman, I find something that's in a way kind of relatable. And maybe if we're honest with ourselves, maybe we haven't gone to that extreme, but maybe we've had some thoughts or some difficulties with a similar attitude, perhaps, in maybe not really relying on God, trusting in God, and fully giving over to His will in obedience. And it's interesting when I, you know, remembering the story, when I decided to kind of, you know, study it and give a lesson, I kind of went in with a certain mindset of what the story was, you know, about, you know, Naaman this example of obedience and how he obeyed and was cleansed, and you know, that kind of very linear thought that we put with it of obedience, you know, being cleansed. And that is true. It's obviously there. But when I actually kind of sat and read it, you know, thinking of Naaman as the example and kind of putting ourselves there, we see somebody who may have been desperate, who went away angry. And then I kind of thought, like, well, maybe I'm not thinking about this right. Maybe there's a little more to it. But then I kind of started thinking further, like, he was desperate because of his afflictions. And really, we should be desperate about our spiritual afflictions as well. Like, that desperation is warranted. No one else could heal Naaman. At least nothing that we know of. Nothing had worked. And when we look at our spiritual ailments, the, you know, analogy that we draw, the picture that this is for us, we are desperate in our sin. There is no other alternative. Anything else that we turn to would fail. And guilt is heavy. And we, you know, going back to that idea of trying to find a way, even people who wouldn't agree with us on a lot of spiritual manners feel the weight of that guilt and seek out a way to validate themselves, to try to alleviate that feeling. But of course, we have to do it according to the truth and according to the right way. But mankind is seeking that out and trying to find it. And we need to make sure that we approach it the right way. The actor Denzel Washington, he had a quote one time. And it wasn't really about this, but I thought of it and it kind of brought this to mind. It was about, you know, how many young men are growing up without fathers in their home. And his quote was, "If the father is not in the home, the boy will find a father in the streets." And I think that's kind of true. Like, you know, young men, they need a father. And if there isn't one in the home, they fill that void somehow. And when you don't fill that void in the right way, bad things happen. So I know he wasn't talking about our Heavenly Father or spiritual things, but I kind of relate it to that. That human beings have that need for the Father. Like, that's how we're designed. That's how we're made. We were made to worship God and to be in His family and with Him. And when we don't fill it with our Heavenly Father, people have a tendency to try to fill it with something else. So that guilt that we see, that desperation, we experience that. Before we are saved, all of us should be desperate for our salvation. And then just getting back, you know, to kind of close this thought, I saw a conversation online recently. There was a young lady who was talking to an older gentleman, and she kind of asked the question, well, why couldn't there be, why do you insist that there's just one right way? Why couldn't there be, a God who accepts all these different religions, or maybe that there's different ideas of heaven? I mean, a thought that's not very uncommon. And in his reply, I thought was fairly simple, and I thought was a good way of looking at it. He just asked her how she kind of knew about heaven. It wasn't a place that she had observed. You can't test it. You can't, you know, really see it in the way that we would think of in some type of scientific way. And, you know, the answer, of course, is that we're taught about it. We don't see heaven. We can't test for it. We can't find it. We know because we've been told. And so when we try to look at, you know, what is the right way, we see all these other ways of filling that void. And if it's not based on the truth, it's going to be very hollow. Because all of these different paths to heaven, someone is lying about their heaven. They contradict. When Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me," either that is true or it's not true. And, you know, we won't go into a lot of evidences, but we do need to understand that the one word, the one truth, is the only way to know the Father. And so we should be desperate to find it, like Naaman was. So we see Naaman's initial reaction, his desperation, his anger kind of turns away rebelliously. And then in verse 13, we're going to begin talking about his obedience. He was, even in his anger, willing to listen. Verse 13, Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. So I don't believe that Naaman would have been cleansed if he had gone to one of those other waters that he thought were just as good or better than the Jordan. I don't believe that if he had washed 5 times, he would have been cleansed. I think that it's obvious that he would not have been made whole unless he had fully obeyed the command of God. And once he did that, his obedience is what made him well. Verse 15, "Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and stood before him. And he said, 'Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So accept now a present from your servant.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none.' And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Then Naaman said, 'If not, please let there be given to your servant 2 mule loads of earth, for from now on your servant will not offer burnt offering or sacrifice to any god but the Lord.'" Now remember, Naaman was initially angry when he learned that obedience didn't look like the way he thought it would. And again, to kind of pull that back, in thinking about us, sometimes we may have been frustrated by a command of God. If not ourselves, we certainly probably know people who have been. Dear sweet daughter, she is a joy. I, of course, love her completely. But when it comes to bedtime, it's not. she doesn't comprehend the importance of going to bed and getting rest. There's no understanding when it comes to that. A lot of times we ask children to do things that they don't comprehend. And really, even if we tried to explain it to them, they wouldn't fully grasp. I remember as a kid, you know, there are things that I was told, don't ride your bike in the street. Now, maybe to a kid, you don't really understand that. And, you know, I'll tell my daughter, you know, it's not safe. And she kind of gets that, but she certainly doesn't fully understand, you know, what that means and what that means to me. And I'm not even sure she fully can know how much I want her to be safe and how important that is. And, you know, those things that I tell her, I try not to be arbitrary about those things. Those are things that are for her benefit because I love her and I want her to be well. God, our Father, is the same way. And He has given us commands that are not arbitrary, but they're for our well-being. And we may not even always have the wisdom to fully understand why. I think a lot of times we can do pretty well in seeing the wisdom of God. I think it's there for us. But to say that we understand fully God's will and the reasoning behind all that He's asked us to do, I'd say in this life we will probably never be able to do that. But God gave Naaman a certain command. And I'm not here to tell you that I fully understand. I don't know of anything specifically that we're told why the Jordan, why 7 times. I mean, I think we can maybe draw some conclusions. The water, you know, being in Israel, and maybe Naaman needed to, maybe there was something important about it not being the waters that Naaman thought it would be, that there was nothing about the water itself that was healing. Seven times being a number of, you know, perfection and completeness. Again, I don't want to put things onto the Word of God that we don't know for sure. But I do know that God had a reason for His command, just as He has a reason for our commands. And there's obviously, I think, a pretty clear lesson here about obedience, and we could even go a little further. And when we think about our salvation and our cleansing in the waters of baptism, I think it's a beautiful metaphor for that. And just as there was nothing special or different about the actual water of the Jordan, there was something very significant and very special about Naaman humbling himself and obeying the command of God. And when we are baptized, no offense to, again, a building I really appreciate, but there's nothing special about this water, and there's nothing special about this baptistry or any water anywhere on the planet. That's not what cleanses us. What cleanses us is Christ's blood and our obedience to the commands that He has given us, the full plan of salvation. So just finally, just for just a minute or two, I wanted to give a contrast, because even after the story of Naaman, there was something that I found a little interesting also. There was a servant of Elisha named Gehazi, and I wanted to read just a few verses, just skip around a little bit in 2 Kings 5 still. In verse 20, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, so this is a servant of Elisha's, said, "See, my master has spared this Naaman the Syrian in not accepting from his hand what he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him." Skipping to verse 25. He went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" He said to him, "Your servant went nowhere." But he said to him, "Did not my heart go when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Was it a time to accept money and garments, olive orchards and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male servants and female servants? Therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever." So he went out from his presence a leper like snow. There's a real contrast here. Naaman, a man who initially was angry about the command of God, but relented and obeyed and was cleansed because of that. Here we have a man who, I'm presuming, knew of God. He was a servant of Elisha, the man of God, but turned away from that, turned to things of this world, to idolatry, and he became leprous. Even someone who knows of the truth, who knows of God, turning to sin, you end up in a bad place. You end up sick and tormented by that sin. So we want to make sure we are cleansed and always obedient to God. So this gives us a strong contrast. And again, coming kind of full circle with Naaman, I went in with this initial thought and this memory of the story saying, wow, what a great man Naaman was. He was obedient. And then you read it and you see the humanity, and you see that need for humility and submitting to God and being obedient. And in doing that, the cleansing that we can have through God. So I'm so grateful for that example. And, you know, I hope that you've been uplifted by it. And I hope that you have been motivated to go out into the world this week with strength and courage and assurance in the cleansing power that you have through Christ's blood. If you do not feel that tonight, we stand ready to assist you in whatever way you need, to pray for you, to be with you, to assist you in whatever need you have. But we want you to feel cleansed and whole tonight. So if you do have a need, please come forward as together we stand and sing.